Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Well, I began a series a few weeks ago before we had kind of gospel and different things that were happening, gospel meeting. And it was called The Law of Increase, if I could have the first slide. I really believe that God is speaking to us about increase, about growth, about development, expansion, maturity, stretching. I don't know if you remember that I went to the gym, some of you, and my trainer at the gym pushed me so hard that I definitely felt stretched. But there is a stretching that happens in our lives and should be happening as Christians. We should always be growing. We should always be stretching out for greater things. And it's very important that we don't become a monument, but we are a movement. You know, what's a monument? Static, never changes. You know, and it's not actually developing or growing. And God wants us to develop, to grow, and to expand into greater things. God wants to do things with your life that you haven't yet seen. Because eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man perceived what God has prepared for those who love him. God's got great stuff for you. Just to encourage you before we get going on the law of increase, he's got great things for you. And he wants your mind broadened this morning. He wants you to understand how the law of increase works in your life so that you can see more happen for Jesus, in your family, in your working life, in your business. I believe God wants to increase every area of life, your financial life, that he wants you to grow and increase so that you will see much, much more happen financially, because the more money you have, I trust your heart's right, because then the more money that the kingdom can have. God wants you blessed so that you can be a blessing. And so we need to learn the principles of increase so that we can see increase. We need to understand what works. And actually, sometimes we need to understand what doesn't work. And there is a spiritual law I'd like to speak about today. And that law is we reap what we sow. That is a law of increase. We reap what we sow. A spiritual law works all the time, whether we believe it or not, or conscious of it being at work. So you and I may not be conscious this morning that we are sowing, but we are. You came here this morning, and actually you're sowing your time, you're sowing your worship, your devotion, and you're sowing in many different ways, in the body, in relationships, but you're primarily giving to God. And let me tell you, whoever gives to God reaps. So there will be a reaping of for good in your life because you're here. So we reap what we sow. It's a law that governs everything. And we know, for example, we sit in a building where somebody once had an idea to build this building. Years ago, they had a thought. And that thought turned into a plan and an action, and they built this. But they had to sow some things. They had to do some things for this to happen. Every plant is a fruit of some seed that has been sown. In your garden, whether they're good seeds or bad seeds, whether they're junk or whether they are weeds, or whether they're nice flowers, things that you like, cucumbers and, you know, a bit of broccoli. It's all the fruit of what has been sown. It is the result. And if we need to be thinking about increase, we must therefore think about sowing so that we get increase. Because if we miss out that dimension of reality, because I believe all the way through the teachings of Jesus, there were very real principles that he spoke about that help us to understand how we can increase in the good things in life and how we can see a harvest of fruitfulness. And I don't need to tell you, if you've read your Bible, that Jesus is calling us all to bear fruit. He said, I chose you and I've appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. In other words, to be productive. To do something with your life. And to see fruitfulness. And fruitfulness that will last. And so this law gives us the key, really, that will unlock us into fruitfulness. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, and we'll just read this scripture together. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. It's good to sometimes, you know, use our minds and our whole kinds of way of thinking about our lives and say, actually, I will reap what I sow. And I could actually put it like this. I am currently reaping what I have sown in my past. Where I am today is a result of what I have already sown. The good news is we can always improve our future. We can't do much about our past except for, say, praise God or sorry. One or the other. But the future we can change. It's in our power to change our future. It's in your power to change your fruitfulness. Often we just have this wrong attitude about God. That God is going to do everything and we do nothing. And that's wrong thinking. And I'll show you why it's wrong thinking, because here we read in Galatians 6, the word of God that tells us how we should think. This is the truth. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. Okay, so that's an important little comment. Don't think you're right when you're wrong. That's being deceived. If I'm convinced I'm right about something, I can be deceived. And God does not want his people deceived. He doesn't want us walking around doing the wrong thing but thinking it's right. Do not be deceived. And then the word goes on to say, God cannot be mocked. So don't mock God with your life. Don't be a person who's a hypocrite. Don't be a pretender. Don't say one thing and do another. Don't be, because God can't be mocked. And then this little sentence, a man reaps what he sows. And of course, a man there means people, women and men, boys and girls, teenagers included. Hello. We all need to take responsibility of our own lives. A person, male or female, will reap what they sow. I think that's just such a profound little sentence. That I will, it's in my power, what I actually experience in my life. Because I will experience everything that I sow. I will actually experience, if I am kind to somebody, kindness is going to come back to me somewhere. I will reap it. Because I will reap from what I sow. If I sow something negative, I will reap from that. Because every one of us is under this spiritual law that governs everything that we do. This is good, isn't it? So a man reaps what he sows. Goes on to say, the one who sows to please his flesh or his selfish nature, really, his own will, from that flesh will reap destruction. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let's not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, let us, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, we say as Christians that a Christian isn't a do-gooder. That's not how you're saved. Well, we are saved by grace through faith. It's totally a gift of God. But the changed heart and the changed life turn you into someone who does good. And if you don't live doing good, there's a big question mark over your life as to whether you're saved. Because by their fruit, Jesus said, you will know them, not by their words, but by their fruit. Interesting, isn't it? I love the Word of God because it kind of gets right down to the root of the issue. And he says, do good to all, especially to the household of faith. That's us. Do me good, brothers and sisters. I want to do you good. This is my part of doing you good, by bringing, giving you and serving God in this way. I'm trying to do you good. And it's to do good in every way. But it's funny that it says, especially the household of faith, the family of believers. We have a commitment to one another, to do one another good. Not to think good and then think that's it. You know, isn't that the best option? Right, I think I should do somebody good, but I never do anything. I didn't actually do it. But actually we're here to do, act, do work that will bless other people. And that would also include the world. So we will sow, if I personally sow to my selfish desires, I'm going to reap a whole lot of bad stuff. I will reap. And normally, if you think about farming, if you sow a little seed, do you know what you reap? You don't reap a little seed, do you? You reap a whole lot more stuff. So if I sow a sunflower seed, what am I going to reap? A whole lot of seeds. So if I sow to my selfish nature, I will in the end reap. It takes some time, but a selfish kind of sowing of my life will eventually result in a whole lot of bad stuff coming back. The word calls it destruction. As a pastor, you know, I get used to seeing how people succeed in life. And I know that one of the things that people need to continue to do, whether they feel like it or not, is to fulfill their commitments in what they say and what they believe God and what God actually says we should be doing. And if we remain faithful to do what God asks of us, in other words, don't give up meeting together. Okay? That's the word of God. Don't give up meeting together. If somebody starts to kind of miss a little bit, do you know what happens? They will reap backsliding. It's the product of what they've sown to nice weather and going onto the beach. Now, I'm not saying this weekend while these guys are celebrating a weekend with James because he's about to get married to Ruth. I'm not talking about the occasional. You understand. There's times where it's right. Pastor Andrea's off this week because she's on holiday. So there's a right time. But if it becomes a lifestyle, you will reap something really negative in your life. So it's a way of behavior. When we start to sow something, it can soon creep in to be a lifestyle where people do the wrong thing because they've actually just got used to doing the wrong thing and that it no longer bothers them. But we can sow to the Spirit and reap life. So as I was saying this morning, by you being here, there will be a harvest of good by your devotion and your faithfulness to sowing to what God wants for your life. Now, just a description of what it means to sow. Let's look at this. What does it mean to sow? Well, it means to invest. It means to plant. It means to give or to put something in. I totally believe that if you put a lot into a church, you'll get a lot out. I know that if you put a lot into your work, you'll get a lot out of it. If you put a lot into your study, you're going to get a lot out. I remember somebody once saying to me about, would you pray for me if I pass my driving test? And I thought, well, only if you put a lot into driving safely. Because I don't want you on the roads if you can't drive. So you're dangerous. I'm not going to pray that you pass something you're not actually qualified for. We can be a bit silly as Christians. Oh yeah, I'll pray, you know, that this happens. And it's hang on. You put the time in and then you'll be in a place to pass your test. And we'll all be happy because you'll know what a red light means. So we invest into studies. We invest in relationships. We give into the church. We give into our relationship with God. We give worship. We plant. We sow seeds into people's lives of God's word. We sow money financially. We give and we expect a return. Because what we sow, we will reap. So the amount that I sow will be the amount that I reap. But Jesus said, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So there's going to be increase in what I have sown. There's going to be more back. So it doesn't matter whether people are nice to you or not, just get sowing. Even if it's famine, even if you can't feel anything, sow. Because it will come back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We like the end result, don't we? But it's this time where we actually invest, we plant, we've got to have a vision of what we're doing. We've got to think and plan to reap what we sow. Okay, so there's got to be a way of thinking as a Christian that makes you more fruitful than you've ever been. And that is with this principle of sowing and reaping. We daily sow ideas or have them sown into us. We daily sow words either of encouragement or if we sow criticism or judgment, guess what's coming back, honey? The word of God says, judge not, lest you also be judged. If I sow judgment against somebody or I speak against a brother or sister or a church leader, if I criticize what's going on, I'm going to reap from what I've said. In the end, I will be damaged. Because it's a spiritual law. Okay, so it's really important we get clear-minded about what it means to sow, to put ideas and actions and words and time and money and gifts and talents. You know, you've got talents. I could say you are talented. The Word of God says he gives talents to everyone. He gives gifts to everyone. You're gifted. Say I'm gifted. Say I'm talented. Brilliant. Do you believe that? You're gifted. Say I'm gifted again. It'll do you good. I'm talented. But only the measure you use will be the measure you get back. If you don't use your gifts, you don't use your talents, you don't put them to work, you will never see the fruitfulness that God has planned with the gifts he gave you. I just love to see sometimes, I look at some of the people that have been raised up in the house over the last 10 years. And those who are really blazing a trail are those who have applied what God has asked them to do and have grown in their gifts. It doesn't kind of happen in a holding tank where I'm doing nothing for 10 years. And then suddenly, da-da, gifted. It's a, using what I have, sowing what I have, investing what I have, so that eventually what comes out is wow. But it was wow for 10 years. So that we get this. I think of Sam, because he's not here today. I'll use his example, Catherine's husband. I mean, when he first got saved, I remember his baptism in Hemyock. And, they were, you know, these are the guys who got saved and are coming up doing their stuff now. You guys have just got saved. You've got a great future. You've got a great future. Anyway, after some time, it was kind of like, we needed a drummer. We didn't have a drummer. Nobody played the drums. So Pastor Andrew and I prayed and thought, I bet Sam's got rhythm. Camille's got rhythm. And he might have inherited the same gift. You'll see her on the dance floor. And we said to him, can you play the drums? Well, I've never done it, didn't he? But I bet I could. So Annette, didn't you sew a little bongos? She went out and she thought, this worship team's got to get off the ground. I'm going to sew. I'll buy some bongos for Sam. Do you remember that? I don't know, those of you who were here at the beginning, we had some bongos. And we didn't have a drum kit. And Sam started to learn, and sometimes the learning process wasn't as good as it is now. But he began to put something to work. He started to act on something. And now, he's good. In many different ways. This is just one area. This is the whole person has developed by using what he has. Asked, invited to be a faith group leader. That's a step up, if ever there was one. What a challenge to lead you, some of you. And to encourage you to follow Jesus. It's not, have mercy on your faith group leaders. All the faith group leaders went, Because sometimes I don't want to go. I don't like it. Who said you've got to like it? Is it in the Bible? Come follow me. That was really close. The Lord is with me. And I want, come follow me. Come follow me. Don't come and feel. Whenever you feel like it, follow. Come on, move with me. Move with me. Come with me. I'm going to make you into something. And that making you into something is a matter of you constantly acting, doing stuff that you haven't done before so that you can develop into something else in the future. God's dream for your life is up ahead. But it means you will start to invest, plant, give, put something in. I believe we need to raise a generation of young people who know what it means to sow. Who, when the offering comes round, have faith to give their 10p or a pound. Who understand that if I sow now up ahead, it's going to be a great financial life. My fees will be paid at university. I'm going to get a supernatural provision for what I need. Because they will reap what they sow. And this concept to invest, to plant. Now to reap, let's just look at this because we love this bit, providing we've sown the right thing. We get a return. You know? You get something back. To reap means you're getting a return, you're getting a result, you're gathering a crop as a farmer. So it's fantastic to think that we have power to change our future. Sometimes, you know, and particularly some of the people we're reaching in the world that they're being saved from, they've been downtrodden, abused, people have rejected them, failed them in every which way. And I believe that if they will start sowing friendship, they will make friends. I believe that you stay isolated and alone because you don't sow. He who is friendly will have friends, Proverbs says. Come on. Come on, it's just plain. As my mum used to say, plain as a pikestaff. It's as clear as day. Whatever you sow, you will reap. So if you want friends, be friendly. Don't be cold. Don't be huffy. Don't be standoffish. Be friendly. Look like you want to be with somebody. When you walk into church, go, good morning, not, It's not actually conducive to good relationships. So we will reap, we will get a return on what we give. When you work, if you're a working person, you have a job, well, we all should work, but it depends what we do. But if you have a job, a specific task that you do, you go out, you work for an employer, then you can expect pay after you've worked, because you reap where you sow. And I believe that in every area, the more that we understand this principle and begin to put it to work intentionally, to be intentional with our sowing, then we will reap up ahead a lifestyle that we dreamed of here today. You've got to have dreams, and then you've got to have a plan to sow to get to those dreams. Thank you, Lord. And so there's wisdom. God's wisdom is his word. If you ever need wisdom for anything, you will find wisdom in the word of God. God's ways are wise. And if you will learn about this principle, then you will come into the greater things that Jesus has planned for you. Now, we can sow. Let's look at this subject of sowing just briefly. I can sow bad things and I can reap bad things. You can do the same. Even though you're born again, even though you're a new creation, you can still act in the flesh. And you can still be angry, critical. You can sow something very negative, and it will produce a bad thing. Okay, so that is a cause and effect. It's a consequence to what we sow. If I could highlight one of the recent horrendous examples of the Norwegian massacre, where, is it Breivik? A young man had a thought sown into his mind. A thought came into his mind. That's how it all starts. It starts with a thought. And the thought came about getting rid of a particular kind of people. And I've been to Africa, I've ministered in Africa, in the genocide that happened between two tribes in Burundi and Rwanda. And there was a chant, a way of thinking that was being broadcast over the airwaves, over the radio, that particular tribe are vermin. They're vermin. Those people are vermin. And they would repeat it, say it over and over and over again until that tribe came into a frenzy and nearly a million people were killed in the most awful massacre. Now, in Norway, a thought was sown into this young man. And he began to plan, according to that thought, a bad thing. And 69 teenagers lost their lives because a bad thought was sown into an action. You know, you and I on a given day could have a bad thought. But praise God, we can deal with it and refuse those bad thoughts and say, no, I'm going to do people good and not entertain any negativity, because the enemy can sow really bad thoughts into people's minds. And it will produce an action if it's meditated upon, thought about, planned, until a massacre, which today, I don't know how many people are grieving in Norway as a result. There is a bad fruit. There's a harvest of sorrow in that nation because of what that man did. Now, let me put it into a current scene where recently there has been a movie out called Hunger Games. Now, Hunger Games, and I haven't seen it, is a movie about teenagers killing teenagers. Similar to what happened in Norway, but it was an older guy, but this murder idea to kill teenagers. And I read in a paper, newspaper, that some parents, and these are not saved parents, took their kids to see this movie, and their kids were so traumatized because it spread a hatred of other teenagers that they left damaged. Now, that, for me, if we don't wise up, if we don't wise up to what we're allowing into our children, our young people, then we cannot actually say, I wonder why they did it. Because we will reap a generation of kids who think it's a good idea to murder teenagers. Come on, this is the real world we're living in, aren't we? There's forgiveness for anyone who went to see it and took their family and friends. But let's wise up that if we want our young people not having that way of thinking, we better not say, let's go there. Okay, there's a time where people are responsible for their own lives. If they choose to go, they go. But that is against God's will, because we will reap what we sow. The internet, you know, this whole thing recently about stopping pornography coming in. I agree. Let's stop it. It shouldn't even come into my house. And I'm not being political, I'm being spiritual. I'm talking on behalf of God this morning. We should not say no to a government that wants to put controls on pornography coming in. I tell you, I don't want, if somebody wants to put a dirty magazine through my door, I want to be able to stop it before it hits my doormat. I don't want any images of anything like that in my house. I am a holy woman of God. My house is for the Lord. Get it out of your house. And yes, let's support any government. We can't support all their policies, but yes and amen. And don't get on the media trail who want to sell their bad stuff and pollute the minds and hearts of this generation. Let's turn it round and get good things in. If you're called into the world of media, start to produce stuff that glorifies God, that speaks about the glory and the goodness of God, that honors people. If you're called into any position of influence, use it for good. Sorry, I didn't expect that this morning. But we, come on. If you have a problem with pornography, go and throw your computer in that river down there. Get rid of it. Don't just say, I've got the power. I've got the power. If it's a problem, Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Let it be a problem for you to even go back to. Good preaching. Come on, let's wise up. We reap what we sow. There's forgiveness. There's cleansing. There's healing. But then there's wisdom. So we don't continue to do what we used to do. Because we will go into the... You know, none of us can stand here. We've all sinned. But the plan is that we sow good things now. And we understand that our minds are like a landing strip, that if we allow things to land in our minds, it will turn into an action. It will turn into a pattern of behavior that will then affect the way we live. Thank you, Jesus. So what about if we sow nothing? That's quite a simple one. We will reap nothing. I'd like to... Oh, gosh, I'm getting a bit contentious this morning. Are you up for this? Most marriages die of boredom because nobody works at it, don't make time to invest. I mean, have you ever been in that restaurant where this couple are out for a meal, probably because they have to, it's their anniversary? Not because it's a sudden romantic, I want to be with you, darling, I've booked a beautiful place for us to eat. Oh, how inspirational you are, darling. Let's go out. No, 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 no. It's because it's our anniversary. Every year I have to do this. Let's go out for a meal, make it as cheap as possible. There's a 2-for-1 at ZZ's. Okay, so they arrive at the restaurant, and you might have been there with your friends having a fine time whilst this couple are sitting there going, nice steak. And then 20 minutes later, do you want pudding? And they just look at each other. I believe that you can be a little bit more inspirational in your future than you are currently. Read a book. Go out for a meal and have a chat about something new that you've discovered. Take up a new interest. Not stamp collecting, but it might work for your partner. But invest something to make you more interesting and be interested. Somebody once said that boredom is like a low-grade poison. It's up to you. You know, it's up to me to have a relationship with God that inspires you. Yeah? If I was still doing the same things 10 years ago, you'd have all gone. Cheerio, this is boring. But this is new today, isn't it? Why? Because I've invested. I have taken time out. I've sown a lot so that I can reap a harvest in you. Because I find God the most interesting person to be with, to investigate, to study and follow. He's exciting. Let's show him to be. If you're not investing in your relationship with God, let me tell you, you will bump along the same old, same old. In fact, you'll lose ground. But if you sow, you will reap. Sow nothing, reap nothing. Work in your marriages. Work in your friendships. Please. Do you know what? Sandra's brother is quite I hope he won't mind me saying this. He's really great at thinking of good birthday presents. And he bought his wife a sausage-making machine. And for her birthday, they had a party with all their friends, with various ingredients, making different sausages. And then they had a test at the end of it, which one's the best. Now, I think that's probably a memorable birthday. 2-for-1 at ZZ's doing the same old isn't. Let's be more creative. Doesn't have to be expensive. It's just got to be creative. Have I lost you? Did you go? Don't get fed up with me now. But I believe that we sow nothing, we reap nothing. But if we give and we do acts of kindness, of service in our relationships, of extreme blessing, then I believe we reap something really good in our relationships. Amen. All God's people said? Amen. Praise God if you do it. We can sow selfishly. And the Word of God tells us, we've just read in Galatians 6, we reap corruption. We sow to our own thing, our own ideas, our own ways, our own plans. And in the book of Haggai, I don't know whether you regularly turn there or not, But it's one of my favorite little books because it always keeps me clear on how Jesus wants us to seek first the kingdom. But it's the Old Testament way of viewing it. Because if we sow selfishly, things don't work. And Haggai chapter 1, page 1093 in my Bible. Look in the index if you don't know. Verse 5 of Haggai 1. You're taking time, so I'll give you a bit more. Haggai 1, verse 5. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Right. I like that. That God's saying to me, think about your life. You see, I think the Christian life isn't just for non-thinkers. Think about your ways. Think about how you're living. Think about what you're doing. He says, is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house, that means his house, remains a ruin? That was the temple was remaining a rubble, a mess, and all people were concentrating on building their own home up. Okay, so verse 5, this is what the Lord says. Verse 6, you've planted much, so there's a lot of sowing going on. Okay, so it's not that they're not sowing. You've planted much, but have harvested little. There's a problem with the harvest. You put on clothes, you eat but never have enough. You drink but never your fill. You put on clothes but they're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. I love that. They're working. The word of the Lord is brilliant. He's saying your money is going through your fingers, guys, because you are building your own thing. We need to close the gap and see finances become a blessing and see our lives really increase in many different ways. But how do we do that? By giving careful thought to our ways and then listening to what the Lord says to do. Verse 7. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains. Bring down timber and build the house. Build the house. Build God's house. Build God's thing. Put God's thing first. Put effort into God's thing. Put your time, your energy, your prayer. Sow your life into God's thing. Because then God will take pleasure in it and be honored. You expected much, it turned out little. Why? Because actually I blew it away. And then, do you know what happens? Everybody, the whole nation repented. If you read the book of Haggai, I'm not going through it all. They repented. They turned and said, right, we've been wrong. We've been concentrating on our own thing. I've been concentrating on my own life, what I want to do. This is the kingdom of me. Have you heard about the kingdom of me? Bless me. Pray for me. Sort me. I want to be here for me. And God says it's the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of, not me, but God. And you know what will happen? Blessing, supernatural blessing will come on your life. In the spirit, right then, I felt people's heart turn. There are one or two of you here have just realized why your life doesn't work. I just, by the spirit, saw somebody go, okay, I will seek first the kingdom. I'll put God's things first. Good on you. Because then God will bless you. All things will be added. That's his word. Seek first. Sow your life into the kingdom. And God will bless you with all things. Keep your heart sowing on what God says is his priority, his will. And you will see all things added. These guys turned. And I believe in repentance. I believe repentance. In fact, you can't be a Christian without repenting. When Jesus came, he didn't just say, believe in me. He said, repent and believe. There are two things going on. And when he said repent, what did he mean? He meant turn around, change your plan, change your thinking, turn around, face me and follow me. So in other words, to follow Jesus, of necessity, we must give up what we were doing. I can't repent truly, follow Jesus and continue to do what I always did. And say, well, yes, Christian, that didn't work. Well, it's because you're not following the way. There is a way that God says it works. Turn your heart, turn your mind, turn your thoughts and begin to walk with Jesus. I tell you, your marriage will be the best marriage. Your friendships will be the best. Your provision, your work, you'll have ideas. You're going to start things up ahead that will blow your mind now. But it's because you turned, you repented, you changed to follow him. And the thing is, guys, even if you've been a Christian a long time, you need to keep changing. Remember, don't become a monument. Become a movement. Oh, well, I've been around in this church now 10 years since the beginning. Well, let's continue to move forward. Let's continue to go on to greater things. Let's stretch out into the greater things in God. Repent. Change your thinking. Where's any little old me? It isn't. God lives in you. You're no longer little old you. It's Christ in you. Thank you, Father. But if we sow selfishly, we will reap negativity. Let's move on from that, shall we? And what about we sow our lives into good things? We will reap good things. Give into good things. Do good things. Plant good things. Words, thoughts, movies, books, conversations. Hello? Don't go home and moan about me. Just in case you're tempted. Have the pasta for dinner. Chew her up and spit her out. Don't do it. Say good things. Even if you've been a little bit challenged today, say, oh, well, God's at work in me. That's brilliant, isn't it? I need to change. And I know I always need to change. I have to admit it. I'm constantly needing God to shape my thinking, turn me around the right way, keep me moving forward. And I need to sow my life into good things so that I can reap good things. So to follow Jesus and continue to follow him means continually changing our agendas and plans for his. Okay, we must die to our own agendas. It's not easy, I know. It's not that we're... Do you know, I long for the true Christianity, which involves us all paying a price to follow Jesus. I long for a church, and I believe partially there are many that do this, and we need to continue to. Where we do take up our cross to follow him. That we do pay a price to follow Jesus. That's the true church. Anyone who, Jesus said, who comes after me must deny himself. So die to your own thing. It's not that, you know, you have to give up your work and not do what you're doing. I let God speak into that. I did that once. When God called me to follow him, I had to. It was my call. He demanded of me to give up my job. To sell my property, my house, and to give away a whole lot of stuff to follow him. I, like the disciples, the early disciples, they left to follow. We've got to leave things to follow Jesus. It's important we do continually leave our old ways, our own ways. But I believe the true church is a people who say, do you know what? Really what counts is his will, not mine. But not just because we're talking it, but because we're doing it. We're saying, not my will, but his be done. Now, let's move on into kind of the last part of this morning about sowing and reaping. And understand that God makes plans to increase, to grow, to advance, to move forward. In Mark chapter 4, turn there. Mark chapter 4. And he's teaching them in a parable in Mark chapter 4, verse 2. He taught them many things by parables, by stories. And in his teaching, he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. Birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because of the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. And still other seed fell on good soil. Say good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60 and even 100 times. I love that, you know, that out of one seed, we can have 100 times in the first harvest. And then if we sow again, my word, we can win the world. You know, it's just this process of sowing and reaping. But we see that in Mark 4 verse 14, Jesus says the farmer sows the word. Okay, so the seed that God wants to sow is his word. And that word, he's looking for a harvest from his word, his promises. The word, the good news about Jesus. And when it is sown onto the right, in the right condition, it will produce. Now, I just think this is amazing that Jesus says it doesn't matter what your response is, I'm going to sow it anyway. I think as a pastor, I've learned a lot about sowing seed every Sunday because I can sow seed and I know that there's every kind of condition in one room. But it doesn't put me off sowing because I know that the word of God must be sown for any person to say, do you know what? I'm going to meet the conditions by opening my heart, saying, yes, I accept what you say, God, that your word, I receive it, and I'm going to nourish it, I'm going to look after it, and I'm going to make sure that that will produce a harvest. There, the good hearts are the ones who have the harvest. And all the other conditions, you can study them, you know, a little bit off the side, not quite in the will of God, hard-hearted, you've got rocky hearts, you've got unforgiving hearts, you've got problems with, I prefer money to Jesus, I want my own career, I want my own thing, I prefer doing what I do, and then God bless me. All of those conditions, they don't produce. I believe if everybody in this room, including myself, was wholehearted, we would turn the world upside down. With no other distractions, no other agenda, but to produce what God wants in our lives. So that's, we can see though that God thinks like a farmer. That as a farmer looks at his fields, he goes, right, I'm not just having a field, I'm going to have a harvest. And I actually believe that God is intentional about sowing seed. He intended to sow his son, to give his son for the life of the world. He intended that his son went around sowing seed. And in the ministry of Jesus, some people followed him. Some people followed him for a while and then backslid. Some people weren't even interested. Some people only came for the miracles. But God is looking for followers. People who will continue to be his disciples to the end. And to continue to think like a farmer so that you think, what can I produce out of my life? What can I do? What does God want to do with my heart, but also what I sow, what I give, the things that I do? Be intentional with our harvest. So God plans to increase through intentional sowing of his word. Now, this is a picture of, I don't know if you can all see it, probably not, but pumpkin seeds. Because I want you to see the harvest of a few pumpkin seeds. Here we go. Next one, please. There they are, a load of pumpkins. Isn't that massive? They're all, the orange things are pumpkins. Just in case you don't know what a pumpkin is. The seed will produce. And then in every pumpkin equals lots more seed. And you can start a revolution by sowing. You can change your family with sowing. You can change a church by sowing. But you can also change the world through sowing the word of God. And so we see that we must meet the conditions, but when we do, we will see an unusual harvest from God. Finally, I just want to finish really on this session about being intentional about your increase, your harvest. How can we make plans for increase? Okay, so how do you and I plan for increase, for growth, and for fruitfulness? The first thing is apply Romans 12, chapter 1. I think before we do anything, we must present ourselves to God. Whether you are thinking of starting a business, going into a new job, getting married, doing something with your life in the church, serving God, the first thing I think that God is looking for is Romans 12, verse 1. Let's just briefly read this. Romans 12 and verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to attest and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. So what's God's plan for me to increase? How do I find God's plan? Well, this scripture, I believe, starts with one of the most important keys of your life is that we continue to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So what am I doing when I do that? I say, Lord, I don't belong to myself. I belong to you. And I don't want to do anything with my life, therefore my body, that isn't what you want. So rather than saying, presenting my plan to God, hello, first, I'm saying I present myself to you. It's the biggest key from going down a plan that is not God for your life. Give yourself to the Lord. Say, Lord, I give myself to you. I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. I worship you with my body. Why? Because actually your body will have to will have to execute the plan that you have for increase. And if it's God's plan, then, you know, you've given your body to him and you're surrendered to God's plan. So first of all, present your bodies and then be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, this is a process, guys. Every day I sow the word, not only into my heart, but my mind. Because the pattern of this world needs to not shape the way I think. Selfishness is often the pattern of this world. You know, I used to give when this church started, and now I no longer give. It's not my turn. Well, that's a wrong thinking. Because in every season we're called to sow. You know, so the pattern of our minds needs to be renewed by the word of God. So you can't think right unless you know the word. And the word of God is the Bible. And the Bible is to shape the way we think about God, the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about each other, but also the way we view what we're here to do on the earth. Yeah? So this is the key, really, to set you up into God's will. Your body and your mind given over to God. Secondly, what do I have to give? Identify what you've got to give. What can you sow? Everybody in this room can give something. Remember, you're gifted. Say, I'm gifted. I'm talented. So you've got something to give. You have the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. You have finances. You've got time. You can give energy. You can give a role that maybe nobody else can give. I remember when we first, do you remember when we had those work parties for upstairs and we just, you know, all got together to clean, to sort this building so that we could meet in here. There were so many people that were giving their time. They were sowing their time. But we need to continue to see that this is what we're here to do. To continue to sow. Invest. We're to give tithes and offerings. It's our worship to tithe to the Lord. It's part of our bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And then do you know what? You reap a heck of a lot of blessing. You sow and then you reap. I know those of you who don't aren't seeing the reaping in your life. And God wants you to reap. But you've got to sow to reap. Hello? Just because your friend doesn't do it, why are you so silly as to listen to your friends or your family? Listen to God. Hello? Do what God says, sow, and then you will reap. Thank you, Jesus. You can give your talents, you can give kindness, words of encouragement. Don't miss an opportunity to encourage somebody. Don't miss an opportunity to be a part of what God's doing. Prayer meetings, faith groups, healing meetings, mission. We're going to come into training in September. Don't miss an opportunity. Take it. Invest time. Invest in the right things and you will reap a harvest. Then test it. Test your thoughts and actions towards God. Is what your plan, whatever you're planning, whatever you're thinking to sow, whatever you're thinking to do for increase, does it take you towards God or away from Him? I know some of you have a tough call because there are so many demands made on people to work on Sundays. Aren't there? Are you still here? You haven't gone to sleep yet. That Sundays have become a thing where the world just, you know, are calling for work. They want you to work 7 days a week. And, you know, maybe your own demands of yourself. I want to get this project done, so I don't want to be there. I love God, but I'll serve Him by doing my own thing. Well, that's, we've already read that's pretty dangerous. But I believe that if what I plan actually moves me towards God, to keeping in the body, to fellowship, to continuing to do His word, then that's the right plan. But if something takes me out of church life, hello, it's not God's plan. I don't need to pray. It just isn't God's plan. Hello? We need to wise up that if we stop sowing here, it will have an effect on us. So these, test your thoughts and actions. Is it going to move me towards God or take me out of God's will for my life? And finally, pray. When you're saying, I want to sow somewhere, I want to give, I want to act on this word of sowing and reaping, maybe you start something, but then continue to pray. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Just finish, and I know it's been quite a long word this morning. It's been quite a full word. But sometimes we have the right idea, but the wrong way of seeing it happen. Has anybody ever had a word from God, and you started to do something, but it didn't work? And sometimes it can be because you're doing it in the wrong way. Paul knew he was called to go out and preach the gospel everywhere. And he went to this place. He wanted to go to Asia. In Acts 16, it says the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going there. So he was in the will of God to preach the gospel. But God says, no, not there. And eventually a door was opened to a particular place for him to go. Peter, he was doing the right thing, preaching the gospel, but he had a wrong mindset about how his life would work out. And if only I could just prophesy and set you free from wrong thinking, it would save you a whole lot of agony and trouble up ahead. Because if you're thinking wrong about what your call is, what your life is supposed to be, then you will never actually come into God's plan. You might know his will, but the way it happens, it's vital we surrender to the way, not just to his will. And Peter was on the roof praying, and you remember he saw this vision come down from heaven. And God spoke to him and said, actually, I've called you to go to the Gentiles, who you would never go to them, but I've said you need to go. And so he had the right plan, but he had a kind of a whole block in his head about how to execute the plan. So even when you're planning to increase, somebody came to me last week. He's planning to increase. He sewed half his wage packet into the building. He said, Pastor, I come because I want you to pray for me. I am sewing half of my pay this month because I need a financial miracle. And I went, amen. I bet you wouldn't. By the look of your face, you'd have gone, are you sure? You need to say amen when you see that kind of faith. Because when you sow, you will. Oh, I believe in giving your way, sowing your way out of trouble. In every season, sow. Because you will reap what you sow. But trust God with the way that life happens. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. We reap what we sow. Amen.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186. Or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.